Welcome to the Jimmy Eats Cars Automotive Podcast, hosted solo by yours truly, Jimmy James Hilton. If you're coming back, welcome back. And if you're here for the first time, this is the podcast where I deep dive into all things on the internet that you might have missed, stuff from eons past or stuff that happened yesterday. So thanks for coming by. Thanks for checking it out. Hope you guys have been well. What do we got on the plate today? We got Porsches crossing the double mustard. We got bring a trailer drama. We got broccoli heads jumping fences. Three car solution. Burnout pits. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of burnout pit content on Instagram. So we're going to talk about it here on the Jimmy Eats Cars Automotive Podcast. But first, I got to give you guys an apology because I might have made a little goof in the last Cannonball video on Lore Garage. It wasn't actually a small goof. It was kind of a big goof. I messed up the world record Cannonball time, which is owned by Doug and Arn from Cannonball Garage. And I apologize for that mistake. I've already reached out to them. I apologized. We talked about it. We talked it through. Maybe we make another Lore Garage on it. I think that'd be really fun. They seem like really cool guys. And I made a human mistake. It happens. I'm going to own it. I should have double-checked the research. I didn't because I was a little bit preoccupied with other projects. And, I mean, you know how that is. Like, you got two projects going on and stuff falls through the gaps. And, yeah, that's on me. I goofed it. I goofed it up. Goofed it up real good. Which is crazy, too, because that's now the most viewed video on Donut right now. So I got to be proud of it in some respect, which is cool. It's cool. But I am a little bummed that I did that. So we're going to move past it, though. This week on Lore Garage, you guys are getting a really fun episode. I'm really excited for it. It's a story of Fordlandia. So if you don't know what that is, quick synopsis. Henry Ford, he basically tried to build a city in the jungle so that he could own tire production for the Model T. However, it like completely backfired on him, and the Brazilian government had to come in and like quell the people that were riding. It's this like town he made. It had like white picket fences, school rules. Square dancing was mandatory. I'm not kidding, Joe. It was mandatory. You had to go to square dancing. It's supposed to be like this utopian society. I've now realized that Fordlandia is the inspiration for BioShock. And yeah, it's an interesting story. So that's the Lore Garage video this week. It came out Tuesday. So if you haven't gone and seen it yet, go check it out. I'm excited about that one. Hopefully it hits a million views as well. I hope it does. And then we can... You know what? I've actually really lost respect. I used to like Ford, and I used to like Henry Ford. I thought he was kind of cool. Now I've kind of realized over my career in the past 6 months, the guy was kind of insane. Him and Hitler were kind of like buddies, and also he tried to make this like dystopian utopia in the middle of Brazil, and there was probably a bunch of other weird stuff that we don't know about either. Breaking news, it's confirmed Henry Ford is into docking. I hope that's on his Wikipedia page in like 3 months. Anyway, I've come full circle on Henry Ford. It sounds like he's not a cool guy at all. This seems like a good appetizer, so let's get into talking about some cars. On my Instagram yesterday, I woke up to Richard Hammond in a Porsche GT3 with an Atasha on it, and he opens it, he's like, Porsche GT3, Chinese style. I couldn't believe what I was watching. Richard Hammond in a Porsche GT3 with an Azure Lane girl all over the side saying Chinese style. I felt validated in that moment because I had a Natasha at one point and I was like, oh my God, we're getting recognition. If you and that's not the only recognition we've had recently too. Lewis Hamilton, when he was in Japan with his F40 a couple weeks back, there were photos of him next to the Kawai Fitment Itasha Club at Daikokuya, and I was like, that's f***ing cool. That's sick as heck. I feel validation. I feel like Itasha culture is finally now starting to reach the mainstream, and people are like, oh yeah, anime car, kind of cool. I have a buddy. His name's Brandon. He goes by Woe Class Weeb on the internet. You might have seen his car. I think his Itasha is probably one of the best in the United States right now, and I think it was last week he jumped on Instagram and made like a bunch of he kind of popped off on like Atasha culture in the United States. And I agreed with a lot of his points. I feel like Atasha culture has definitely lost its way. I remember that this was kind of how I got really into cars. So back in 2016, there was a Atasha car meet here in Irvine, and it was called Otaku Thursdays. And I remember going to this as a freshman in college, and that was the first car meet I ever went to. I went to this car meet because I wanted to check it out. And I saw so many crazy cars there. I saw my first R34 GTR. It was a Motorex car, and some guy just rocked up in it. I saw all these cool Atashas there, tons of like Miatas, and it was cool. It was such a different community than I was expecting. You see like stickers, anime stickers on cars nowadays. You see people with the peekers and stuff. And those are people who are selling stickers on like Etsy and their websites and stuff. But back then, all these stickers were made by the people who own the cars. And basically it was like, hey, I'm going to give you a sticker so you can put it on your car. And we're going to exchange stickers. So it was all about trading back then. And then, you know, as the years went on from 2015, 2016, 2017, it became more of a business. People started profiteering off of it. I get it. But also it took away from the Atasha culture here in the United States, I think, and kind of diluted it. It sucks. I feel like, you know, some people just go on Etsy or eBay and buy an anime sticker and throw it on the side of their car and don't really think about what the design is. And my opinion on Atasha cars is the car has to look good without the anime girl on it. All right. Make sure it looks good. Like, put some nice wheels on it. Get the fitment right. Get some cool bumpers. Make it look very good to look at, very satisfying to look at without the anime girl. And then you have to add the anime girl, but do it right. I think a lot of people have a different idea of what looks good, obviously. But I think people mess up on getting like body lines right, trying to find where the girl fits perfectly. And there is an art to it. And I think that has kind of lost its way. And I think people kind of cheap out on that stuff. I don't think you should. I think you should, if you really care about this character so much that you want to go to lengths to put her on the side of your car and drive your car around every day, I think you should put a little money into, you know, some nice artwork and making the car look good. And it's expensive for good reason. I think the barrier entry needs to be higher, and I think people need to be... I think that's a community that can be gatekept. I think some people need, you know, people need to take pride in their work. I love my Atasha. My Atasha, I think I miss... That's one of the cars I miss a lot. If you guys don't know, I had an Atasha at one point, 2017, I'd say. I took it to Anime Expo, a bunch of other conventions and stuff. It was really cool. It had Iowa from Can Cole on it, so the car and the character kind of, like, meshed. Like, it was a American battleship girl on an American car. And all the colors flowed really well. And I thought that was pretty dang cool. Anyway, I can't believe we just went on an anime tangent for the first thing we're going to talk about in today's episode. If you don't like anime, I'm sorry. Anime is kind of cool. I'm kind of over it now. But I watch stuff every so often. I still watch Evangelion. I still watch Initial D. Anyway, let's get into another story. So my buddy Evan Sawyer, Canyon Car himself, has had a long-standing dispute with Kurt Wagner. Now, Kurt Wagner is a Porsche race car driver. He's actually helps, I believe, develop some of Willow Springs. But he's kind of a reckless driver. On the weekends, he'll take out his million, you know, I think he has a Porsche 918. But he has a ton of GT3s. He'll take his GT3s out to the canyons, and he cuts it up with his buddies and crosses the double yellow. The mustard, as they say. Cutting the mustard. Don't cut the mustard. Well, Evan went and found where he cut the mustard and literally set up an ambush and got him on video crossing the double yellow. Dead to rights. A lot of people have sided with Evan, saying, you know, this is reckless, but also a lot of people have kind of called it cornball. Because, you know, Evan literally went up to a corner and people have said he's the HOA president of the canyons, which, I mean, that's a really funny statement to say. But, I mean, look, Evan cares a lot about the canyons And I think a lot of people care about it. I love driving up in on these canyon roads. And I mean, I would hate the idea of coming around a corner and getting smashed by a GT3 in my like little Miata that's just putting around. And I think like, dude, the fact that this Porsche Cup driver guy was like, I'm a race car driver. I know what I'm doing as a response. I don't know, man. That's kind of, I still wouldn't do that. Even if I was a trained professional race car driver, I would not be doing that on city streets. I just wouldn't want like to be held accountable. Like what if you hit a car and you killed a mom and dad and left the child like by the, like that would, I'd feel horrible. I would feel so disgusting. Like the idea of that does feel really disgusting to me, that someone thinks they're above the law to do something like that and just be like, oh, I'm a race car driver. I know what I'm doing. I hope that maybe this is a wake-up call for him. All the people that are blasting Kurt Wagner's social media profile with mustard memes. Last week on the Jimmy Eats Cars podcast, we talked about that Porsche GT3 RS that flew off at kind of the same area where Evan got this guy crossing the double yellow. So, I mean, he's not wrong. This is dangerous. It's like every time you open Instagram, a Porsche GT3 is in a place where it shouldn't be. All right. So if you own a Porsche GT3, don't cross the double yellow, man. I'm out there in my little Miata that doesn't have any safety ratings at all. And if you hit me, you'd probably send me into the stratosphere. So I think we all need to be careful. And maybe, you know, take it easy. Just enjoy a Sunday drive. You don't need to set lap records. Kurt Wagner's response to the Canyon Carver, I'll read it actually right now. I do have a screenshot of it in case it was deleted. So let me read it and I'll send it. We'll put it here. But this was Kurt's response to Evan. You also know that stretch of road very well. And when you have complete sight line and 100% visual accuracy to crossing a line is just using road, with only downside being a traffic violation. I've been racing Mulholland area for 40 years, never had one sit incident, which is a lot more than I can say for all the fanboys out there wrecking their BMWs and go over cliffs and 3RSs as of late. Maybe people should study my technique and throttle inputs so they too can learn how to be safe. Smooth and quick in canyons, just saying. I think that's kind of whack. Honestly, that's kind of whack to say. I mean, even though you have a sight line, I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think crossing the mustard's valid here in this area where you can kind of have this 100% sight line? Or is it whack? I think it's kind of whack. I mean, Matt Farah got a ton of shit for this years ago. Even though you have 100% sight line, you might not see an animal. You might not see maybe a hiker who's tying their shoes or a bicyclist who's fallen over. Like, even though it's not a car, there's still these roads that are used by regular people. So I think you need to be careful. You can never be too sure. I've seen some crazy stuff on these canyon roads. I've seen flip cars that are should have been in the sight line, but they're not. You come around the bend and you're like, oh, that's a flipped car. So I think you need to be more careful. But again, I'd love to see what you guys think in the comments down below. So drop a comment on your opinion. And if you're driving a GT3 RS, you definitely have enough money for the track. So I don't know, maybe take it to the racetrack, bud. Finding a therapist is hard enough, but finding one who actually takes your insurance, that's where most online therapy platforms fall short. Many don't work with insurance at all, which means you're stuck paying the full cost out of pocket or paying for an expensive monthly subscription. Rula does things differently. They partner with over 100 insurance plans, making the average copay just $15 per session. That's real therapy from licensed professionals at a price that actually makes sense. Think about it. You use your insurance benefits to maintain your physical health, so why wouldn't you do the same for your mental health? And Rula isn't just affordable. The experience is tailored around you. Other online therapy platforms might match you with the first available provider, whether or not they're the right fit. Rula considers your goals, preference, and background to provide you a curated list of licensed, in-network therapists who are actually aligned with what you need, because they know that finding the right therapist can make all the difference. No wait list, no frustrating back and forth. Rula makes it easy to find a mental health provider who is accepting new patients, and appointments are available as soon as tomorrow. Plus, Rula sticks with you throughout your journey, checking in to make sure your care is helping you move forward. So go to Rula.com/JEC to get started today. That's Rula.com/JEC for quality therapy that's covered by insurance. Missed calls and slow follow-ups are silent killers. That's how businesses leave money on the table without ever even realizing it. That's why today's episode is brought to you by Quo, spelled Q-U-O, the business communication system built so you never miss a call. Your entire team can handle call and text from one shared number, so no more missed messages or dropped conversations. Everyone sees the full thread, replies are faster, and customers actually feel taken care of. Quo is the number one rated business phone system on G2 with over 3,000 reviews built for how modern teams work. More than 90,000 businesses, from solo operators to growing teams, rely on it to stay connected, professional, and consistently reachable. It's easy. Call, text, voicemails, transcripts, and contact details all in one clean view. So your team always has the full picture and can show up for every customer conversation, ensuring a seamless and more personalized experience. Money is on the line. Always say hello with Quo. Try Quo for free. Plus, get 20% off your first 6 months when you go to Quo.com/JEC. That's Quo.com/JEC. Let's talk about another piece of car info that I'm ready to nom at. Okay, Instagram, again, these past 2 weeks has just been like crazy. I feel like every time I open it, I am seeing takeover footage. However, it's not takeover footage because it's these things called legal burnout pits. Now, this is a new thing that's kind of started up in areas. I think Atlanta has one. This is the main one I've been seeing. But it pretty much might as well be a takeover, which is pretty crazy. This started because I saw this dude who basically he gets knocked over by the car. He's in, you know, he's on the tires on the side. They're sitting on the side of these barricades. They're not even like outside the barricades. They're still like in the pit, even though it's legal. This still is dangerous. If I held a piece of land that I was like, yeah, come doing some burnouts on it, I would still want people to be behind a barricade. So these people are sitting on the side on a tire, and it's a Charger, whacks this guy off the tires and starts doing a burnout, but there's a ton of flames and they just go all right up his butt and it just burns his pants completely. The guy just got flamboiled. That guy's not having kids. He got flamboiled up the Okay, anyway, yeah, we'll throw the fire up the butt. That's wild, man. Anyway, these legal pits look like they're getting just as crazy as before. Actually, I just realized the guy's running on the track before getting fire up the butt. That's definitely on him. It's crazy now that we have these, like, basically these spaces for these people to go and do burnouts, and it's still just somehow the same thing, just on someone's private property. Like, people are still getting knocked over. There was another one at that Atlanta pit where I think it was a 350Z came in and took out like 9 people. And it's the pants, dude. The pants are the first thing to go. The pants and the shoes, gone. I can't, it's insane. All this is to say that people are seeing these clips of these legal burnout pits where people are going crazy still, running around, hitting things, and somehow this has now transpired to a very prominent motorsport festival called LS Fest. So at LS Fest, it looks like these group of broccoli head teenagers jump through the fence and start sitting in the middle of the burnout pit. And the fact that the staff, I mean, it looks like they're like, you got to stop this immediately. Like, they came in immediately, but they were like, it looked like they were pretty bewildered for at least, 15 seconds, I would say. They're just standing there like, this kid really just jumped through the fence and is just sitting there waiting to get hit by a car and have his pants fall off. I wonder if that kid went and speedrunned Scientology. I can't believe that. That's like another thing that happened on Instagram in the past 2 weeks, the speedrunning Scientology. We got to go, okay. I don't know if you guys knew this, but we're actually next to a Scientology church. Did you know that? Let's go speedrun the Church of Scientology church. Let's go do burnouts in their parking lot. They actually have a big parking lot there at this one. That would be okay. All right. Takeover community, legal burnout pit community. Let's band together. Hashtag burnouts for Xenu, guys. I think that'd be cool. That'd be cool. If the Takeover guys start doing burnouts in the Scientology church parking lot, I'm okay with that. And their pants start falling off. Tom Cruise, come do some burnouts with us. I saw that there was a burnout pit in Sacramento, I think. And apparently the guys bought it. And then they like didn't file the paperwork properly. And so now the neighborhood shut it down. And then they were like, went on the news and they're like, yeah, they're just trying to stop us. And then the news reporter was like, well, did you file the permits? And he was like, no, we filed it before we bought it. And then they never responded to it. Well, yeah, dude, no wonder they're trying to shut you down. You didn't get a response from the local government. That's like crazy. They never said you could do this. It looks like there's like houses next to this place too. So you're just, I don't think the neighbors would be too stoked. Speaking of Neighbors, you guys should watch the, I think it's HBO, that net, it's an HBO show. It's called Neighbors. Really good. Really damn good. Whoever directed that show, give them an award. It's really well done. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. I'm surprised no one's on there with like cars. All the neighbor disputes are like about fences, or one was like this dude was trying to have a farm on his property, but there was no cars the whole season. I was like surprised about that. I was like, oh. I used to have a neighbor dispute with my HOA president because my HOA president, my last place, she was across the street from me and she would always berate me and my buds when we were like working on our cars. We would shut the garage door and she'd come bang on it and stuff. I'm so glad I'm not in HOA anymore. And now that I have a 4-car, 5-car space, I can't wait to terrorize this neighbor. No, I think my neighborhood's pretty cool. I saw a guy down the street actually with a Porsche RSR, I think it was. Yeah. Porsche RSR. And then there's a guy across in the next cul-de-sac with an NSX. And then my next door neighbor has a DeLorean, a old Land Rover, and a Mazda RX-7 FC convertible. All these cars are like abandoned. They're just sitting out in the front lawn. And I can't tell if he has good car taste or not. Like, I'd love to know, actually. Leave a comment down below if you think that is a good 3-car solution. RX-7 FC convertible, which I kind of think is, like, it's almost cool. Almost cool. DeLorean is, I'm not a big fan of them. And Land Rover from, like, the 80s. And it has, like, paint match wheels. So it's kind of a cool spec. But I can't tell if this is, like, a good 3-car solution. Also, he has these cars out front his house. They're just sitting in the driveway. And I'm always wondering, what's in the garage? Because if those cars are sitting outside, what's sitting inside? Oh my God, he's got a Hummer H2 in there. I even Google mapped it. Those cars haven't moved since like 07, it looks like. But I can see into his backyard from my backyard. He has like a toy railroad thing. Like there's like a box car that's like the size of this table. It's really weird. It looks like some prop. But I mean, he's one of those old guys where it's like, there's just kind of shit everywhere. And I'm like, is this a look into my future? Okay, off the top of my head, my 3-car solution is some sort of GTR, R32 or R34, a Porsche 993, and Pajero Evo. No Miata. I'm sorry there's no Miata in there. I would rather have a 993 Porsche, I think. And I think, you know, and some neighborhood kid moved in next door and was like, that's a really crappy 3-car solution. I'd have an Infiniti G37, a BMW with Crackle Tune, and a Nissan Juke. Okay, actually, so I wanted to talk about the Juke because the Juke's kind of bad. I don't know if anyone's seen this. This is why I'm like, I'm kind of almost thinking about just disconnecting from the internet for like 2 years. Not 2 years, but like 2 weeks. I just feel like Instagram has been so toxic these past 2 weeks where I'm just seeing like a ton of bullying. And I mean, like, I understand to some degree, but then it's like, ah, man, it is just wild what you see on Instagram and how brutal people can be in the comments. People are brutal. I don't want to get on anyone's bad side. I'm a good little boy. I always try to be a really upstanding citizen, and I try to be nice to everyone, and I can't understand how someone can be negative on the internet. Letting bygones be bygones. I don't know how you do it. I mean, I literally apologize to people when I mess up. That's why I apologize to Doug and Arn. Like, I felt bad. I felt genuinely bad because I messed up. And I got some shit for it, and I was like, okay, yeah, I mean, it deserves it. But man, I could never be mean to anyone on the internet unless they're mean to me, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I've just seen a lot of hate. Anyway, there's this Nissan Juke girl that's been, like, appearing on people's profiles, and people are just dogging on her. I feel really bad. I feel really bad for her. She probably just likes her Juke. I know she's made some questionable aesthetic modifications. I mean, but that's her prerogative. I think just let bygones be bygones. I feel like that car reminds me of, like, 2008 car when people think of, like, a ricer car. I mean, if she likes it, she likes it. That's not on, like, that's not affecting. I don't have to see it. I mean, if it was in this parking lot, I'd probably be like, that's a crappy car if I had to see it every day. Juke R's cool. She has, like, an R32 key for her Juke, which is kind of goofy. Actually, it's not an R32 key. Someone was posting our comments, give me back my R32 key. Actually, that wasn't an R32 key, dude. If you knew your keys, that's actually an R33 key. So get your shit right. I wanted to comment that, but I'm just trying to be nice. Juke R is cool. If it was a Juke R, if she owned a Juke R, I think people would be like, all right. But I mean, what? How many of these things did they make? Only 5 were made. I wonder when one of these is going to be on Bring a Trailer. All right, so we got Juke R. Only 5 of these were made. It has 600 horsepower from a R35 GTR motor. And this thing looks cool, dude. It's got like, okay, this, if Nissan made this as like a Dodge Durango SRT, a competitor to that, I think Nissan would be cool. Nissan could be back. Nissan would be back if they did this. So I don't know. This kind of seems like an L that they only made 5 of them. But man, I mean, it's cool. That's what I hate about Nissan. They always tease us with like cool stuff. They're like, oh yeah, we might do this. Maybe. But then they never follow through with it. Yeah, this is cool. I would buy one of these. Speaking of Dodge Durangos, I don't know if you guys saw, but I think I saw this on Instagram as well. I'm sorry, I've just been on Instagram. I've been like scrolling way too much. I need to stop scrolling. I need to get off the scroll. I'm in a scroll hole right now. The worst car on Bring a Trailer sold last month, and it was finally posted. I saw this like crazy post about this Dodge Durango, and apparently had 20,000 miles. And if you look at the pictures of it, you can kind of tell it something ain't right. It's got some rust in spots. The engine bay looks like a disaster. George saves the world. So he bought quite possibly the worst car on Bring a Trailer. It was a Dodge Durango. This thing, the doors didn't shut. The rear windows were being held up by blocks of wood wedges that were shoved in between the window and the door card. It had a ton of rust. It had a rust hole in the roof. And the doors didn't close. This thing, and when he drove off in it, it started like making all types of noises. Battery was dead. It sold for $5,500. So, I mean, I don't even think that car is worth it. I think I'd pay like $1,000 for this. The fact that this car ended up on Bring a Trailer is kind of insane. I'm going to reach out to him because I actually want to know more about this because this is really interesting. I'm really interested in this. Any Bring a Trailer drama is so interesting. Let's see what else this guy's bid on, the guy who won it. I want to see what else he's bid on. What are you into, bud? What's your game? Okay, you bought a boat and you bought a Maserati Quattroporte from 2007. Not a good 3-car solution, dude. You bought a boat, a Dodge Durango that's definitely not 20,000 miles, and a 2007 Maserati Quattroporte. Not a good 3-car solution. No sense, man. No sense. But let's talk. I'd love to talk to you. I just remember seeing this morning as well. So I'd love to chat more if you see this, if you're listening out there in the big blue yonder that is the internet. I'm full, but to finish things off, you got to have dessert. And I wanted to talk to you guys about a car I just bought. Because a lot's happened in the past 2 weeks. I bought a car. I have a new car to my fleet. This 1997 Nissan Kokki S14. I'm hopefully going to do some stuff on the channel with it here at Donut. Again, shout out to Chris, who literally trailered the car all the way from Alabama to LA in less than 3 days. He undercharged me. I tipped him. I felt really like, I was like, oh my God, dude, you did me just a service. And not only did he do that, as soon as he got here, I gave him a tour of Donut. I told him about my 1996 Midori Green EK up in Washington. And he said, I'm going to go get in my car, in my truck, and I'm going to go get it for you. So So he went up to Washington this weekend, got my EK. It's arriving in an hour. So I can't believe that. Huge shout out to Chris, dude, for doing that. You're amazing. If you're in the South and need a tow, hit me up because I know a really good guy who can do you right. But yeah, now I got a new car to the fleet. I've pretty much filled my 5-car garage at this point, which was really quick. That was quicker than I thought. Anyway, sorry for bragging. I had to tell you guys about Chris and how he did me. It's crazy. So we'll put some photos up. And you guys, I'm excited, hopefully, for you guys to see this thing on the channel. That was a good little dessert. I love a good little dessert. My favorite dessert's tiramisu. Or should I say tiramisu? Thank you guys so much for listening to the Jimmy Eats Cars podcast. Follow Donut Podcast where you listen to or watch your podcast. Check out Talk Talk Nation with Joe Weber. They got all kinds of interviews with cool people. Follow me on Instagram at RussellJimmy.jp. Follow Joe at Joe G. Weber. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching. As always, I will join you again in 2 weeks where we have another dinner together. So cherish all the moments you make because you never know when the sun is going to blow up. Bye.